you know what, I think it would be good for us all to finish with, and I was talking about it to Christine on Sunday, I think. I read how this man said the Lord's Prayer, but he didn't say, Our Father.
No.
He said, My Father. And I think it would be good for us just to say, My Father, and personalise it to you instead of our.
Mm.
Wherever it says our, say me and my. So let's give it a try. My
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread, and forgive me my trespasses, as I forgive those that trespass against me. And lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Praise God.
It's you and him. And that prayer covers everything.
Job lot.
Top to bottom.
Top to bottom.
Inside and outside. Glory to God. We did a 6-week study on the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, we did.
The importance of it, every section is important.
When I went to school, they opened the assembly every morning with the Lord's Prayer.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember being at school and I just remember this teacher. She used to play it, she used to love the tune. She used to play, and then it's so sad now because. Well, they don't do it now, do they?
No,
but
obviously,
they don't say the Lord's Prayer.
They don't pray.
Oh, no, well, the prayer before the luncheon, we had to stand at the table for what we're about to
receive.
When we went to Bishop's funeral, there was a gentleman there that sang the Lord's Prayer. And he was a trained, qualified singer, wasn't he? And it
beautiful.
Was just awesome. You could feel the power of God in that place as he sang it. It just resonated, didn't it? And it brought such majesty. It's a beautiful piece.
Tell you what's nice as well, and Bill's had it on the website for sure. Andrew Bocelli singing Lord's Prayer.
My Holy Night.
No, Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, yeah. That's a good
I've got on CD, it's fabulous.
We did that on Monday night. There's more to it than what I've ever heard sung before. There's a chorus to that.
Yes.
Yeah, there is.
I never knew that.
It's
I've got it on CD at all.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
I've never heard it before like that, of course.
I had a message today, believe it or not, from a friend's. I discovered it from its BlackBerry in the USA. He sent me two messages, basically, just to say that he was praying for us. Now, I've never met this person, ever. I've emailed him. I'm not even sure I've even spoke to him on the telephone. But our connection with each other is through Bishop Elijah. And he sent me a message, as he was praying for us, thinking about us and praying for us. So I sent him a message back, I said, thank you. I said, it's the right time, you must be hearing. We appreciate your prayers for us all at this time. And then he sent another message back saying, yeah, he said, I've been listening to, he said, what brought you to mind as well? He says, I was listening to Brother Cody, as he calls him, on the website out in Minnesota. And he said, and I'm just thinking about it. He said, he was saying he missed him and that. And I said, yeah, we do too. And it's just amazing. The website is working as well. Mm. And spreading the message, spreading the word, encouraging people. And we just got to keep doing it. And keep sharing the powerful word of God. Because it's the word that gives life.
Yeah.
That changes people's direction.
That's beautiful.
It's not just habits that people have to change. It's the absolutely inside where the Word of God has to change.
Yeah.
And that once you've got that seed planted, that incorruptible seed will change your life. It will begin to grow and it will begin to. This is not the best word to use, but it will begin to invade every part of your body.
Yeah.
It will begin to permeate through, and it will clean every room.
Mm-hmm.
I often have used the terminology that the word says that our bodies are a temple
mm-hmm.
of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look at Solomon's temple, there were different rooms in the temple for different things that had to be done, and different things were stored and kept in there. And when the temple came in disarray and ruin to some degree, people started to use it for other things. It's just what the devil does to this body. Starts to use it for other things.
Mm.
It begins to be in disarray, begins to be disturbed,
mm-hmm.
and the devil then begins to inhabit rooms with things that are not of God.
Mm.
And so I use the analogy or the type of the temple of Solomon and the temple of your body, my body, has been side by side. And when Nehemiah came, the temple had been rebuilt, but some of the rooms were still had things in them that weren't godly. For instance, Sanballat and Tobias were living in it.
Yeah.
They didn't believe in the gods of the Jews.
No.
They were just using it as a way to manipulate their way in,
mm.
to bring discontent and disarray and disobedience.
Mm.
This is always connected with the devil.
It is.
Yeah.
He'll discourage you.
Mm.
He'll destroy you.
Mm.
This is what the devil wants to do. And so these people were living in there, and when Nehemiah went in, he said, "What's these things in here? Oh, these are Sanballat." And he says, "Out and clean and sanctify this room."
Yeah.
"But it is holy." And the priests had allowed this to happen. These were the men of God. But they had been deceived.
Mm-hmm.
And Nehemiah came in and said, "Clean it out."
Mm-hmm.
"Cleanse it and get rid of all those things." Sanballat and Tobias were enemies of the Jewish people.
They were.
When you read the story of Nehemiah, they mocked them to scorn.
Yeah.
They tried to bring division amongst them, and they were planning to kill Nehemiah,
mm.
to stop him rebuilding the walls of the city.
Mm.
That's demonic, because the walls of the city of Jerusalem had to be built, and Jerusalem had to be occupied so that Jesus could come.
Mm.
And the devil knew that if he could keep Jerusalem in disarray and keep it from not being built, then the Messiah would not come.
Mm.
You see, it's demonic, and it's manipulative. And so when you put the analogy of the temple physically of Solomon and us the temple, there are many rooms in our lives, and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God has to move through it,
mm-hmm.
and cleanse the rooms. We have to allow him access into every room in our life.
Mm.
And there's a process that goes on where there's a cleansing process. And sometimes God will turn up to you and say, "We need to deal with this in this little room. You thought nobody had a key to this room. You thought you'd got this hidden away." And he says, and he just puts his finger on something, and the door opens, and he says, "That needs to go. We need to get rid of that. We need to change our ways. And we need to respond differently to what I'm saying to you. We need to change what's happening." And then when you start to do that, it's another area that God is possessing.
Mm-hmm.
The other analogy you can bring is that when the children of Israel went into the promised land, God said, "I could wipe everything out. Clean slate." No enemies in there, nothing, just the animals and the land. And you could go in and take it all. But he said he'd overtake you before you're actually big enough to possess it.
Yeah.
And same with us. God has, there's this process of God moving through our lives and purifying us and cleansing us and making us into his very image. The next imagery you could use is that it talks of silver. And silver, when you refine silver to get the purest silver, it has to go in the fire and be refined 7 times. There is a process. The dross, every time dross comes to the top, so they skim the dross off, pour out the silver, let it cool, bring it back another time, remelt it, and again more dross rises to the top, so they skim that off. Great, isn't it? Who wants to join? Who wants to volunteer to go in the fire? Who wants the heat applied to their life? Who wants the finger of God to stir in there and say, oh, we need to just get this out? We don't volunteer for it, do we? But God said he wants to refine us.
Yeah.
Like pure silver.
Yeah.
So there's nothing left in there. Like when Jesus said, Satan can find no fault in me.
That's right. He's got no hold on.
He has no, and when there's nothing to hold on to in your life. And that's what God wants to do. God is in that process where he's going to refine us each time, clean the room each time, and bring that to bring us to the place where he can say to Satan, I find no fault in this my child. Look at Job, the story of Job. And Satan says, ah, he only... Well, he worships you because you've got a hedge around him. But the hedge that was around him was because Job was living the right sort of lifestyle. It was the hedge that God had placed around him because of his lifestyle that he was living. Because it was like a force field. But when the God's there, when the presence of God there, the devil won't walk in. Because the force and the presence of a holy God will keep out a devil. Will keep out his forces, will keep out his imagery, because God is in the midst of them. And that's what God wants for his people. He wants that for each of us as individuals. But the devil always tries to do it. Always plays with pictures, doesn't he? If I say to you, apple, what do you see?
An apple.
What do you see?
Tree.
Huh?
Apple tree.
Apple tree, okay. What do you see?
Apple.
What colour apple?
Green.
A green one. What do you see?
I see a pie or custard.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not.
That's right, eh?
No, that's fine. I love apple pie and custard. But can you see? A word creates a picture. Now, that's one word, right, that's created a picture, and you have seen an apple that is green. Then the next question is, how big is it?
Medium
sizes. So you see, this apple is it? What sort of shape is it?
With two leaves, like
and
round.
Right. You see. Okay. Mm. See straight away that one
Gold
word
delicious.
Has actually created a picture. Shades of green and leaves still there and size of it, etc. This one here has got pastry on this apple. Who's seen an apple tree that grows with pastry on it? Pastry, and then it also
custard.
Has custard. So from one word, we get a description of an apple pie in a dish that has now been cut and has been placed in a dish, and now there's custard, hot, warm custard being poured over it, you see. So there are a multitude of words there and brush strokes that are creating a picture from one word, right? So immediately, the devil knows this. He knows that these things happen. So he'll either bring words to mind that cause a picture, or he'll even some, and he will also work in pictures with you, because pictures. What is that saying? A picture
makes
a thousand words. Right, so straight away a picture paints 1,000 words. So when you look, each and every one of us can look at a picture and see it in a different way. So this is how the enemy will work on you. That's why the television media and cinema media is so powerful, because it will govern the way you think. Mm-hmm. It will govern the way you speak, the way you act. People cannot say, oh, watching all these violent films does not cause somebody to want to be and feel violent. Because you see children, you see young men. They act in that way. Because if you've watched, if everyone has, we've seen films, etc. And sometimes you can go to bed and go to sleep and you can actually see some of that film still going on, yeah? So is it not powerful?
Yeah.
It has placed something in your memory that is powerful. So if you watch the wrong things, when you go to sleep, when you are resting, your subconscious kicks in. And it begins to rehearse things that you've seen. Anybody ever woken up in a hot sweat and had a dream and thought, oh, that was real? I once thought I was falling off the edge of a cliff. I caught myself, fortunately, I was falling out of bed. There was another time when I was pushed off the edge of the cliff.
Well, I was dreaming
out of bed.
You were dreaming of pushing, yeah.
My wife was dreaming one time, and all of a sudden I felt a pair of feet coming to my back, and I'm going out of the bed. So next thing, I just dove onto my feet and landed, and then she was on my side of the bed, so I just chunted and I walked round the other side of the bed and got back in the other side. I thought, you're not stopping me, you know.
It woke me up and I thought, don't let him know you're awake. But none of us are going to be exempt from being put in the pressure cooker, are we?
No.
And don't blame the devil, because it's God who's refining you.
Yeah.
And he's watching. He wants us to be pure and clean. And the only way you're ever going to know that you can trust God is if he puts you in the fire.
I've been there, done that.
And if we've never experienced his saving and power and seen him give you a promise out of the Word of God and then watch him fulfil it, then you just don't know God, and you're never going to get to know him. In your comfort zone, he's going to get you out that comfort zone, I promise you, because he wants to perfect you, and the only way he can perfect you is putting you in the pressure cooker. So don't whinge and moan and think it's, you know, what does it say in I don't know whether it's one of Paul's books, it says there is, I think it might be Timothy, no temptation has come to you but what is common to man, and he'll not put you in and not leave you in there beyond what you can endure, but he will make a way of escape. So he does have a plan and he does have a purpose in it, and he is monitoring you, and he's not going to let you drown in that situation. He will rescue you, but he wants you perfected.
But how do you know it's like from God, if he's putting you through a testing time? Because you tend to think if it's a bad thing coming, you think it's the devil, or
you do. And
when I know you've got,
and the devil, but you know, I've got to go back to this. God says, I create evil, I create good. In, I think it's in Deuteronomy, he tells you he creates evil and good.
He's the creator of us all, aren't we?
Yeah, he's the creator of everything.
Some of them are, tell them, you know what I mean? But he's still the creator.
You see, if you want to become, and my colleague on my right would vouch for this, having been a trained soldier, if you want to be an effective living soldier, then you have to, first of all, respond to the fitness training and the regime. And you're told to do things that, well, as far as you're concerned at the time, have nothing to do with warfare.
That's right.
And when you've done them, you're told to go back and do them again.
You
might be told, go and clean the toilets, and then you go and clean them, and you come back out, and Sergeant Major comes in and says, looks at them and says, clean them again, son. It's like, but I've just, and in the army, it's a case of You don't question the officer. You do as the officer tells you. And what's happening is, the toilets are not dirty. He's testing where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to find out that if he says to you, clean them again, you just say, yes, Sergeant.
Yeah.
And you just go back in and you clean them. Because he's looking for this thing called obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it comes to a time of battle and trouble, he wants to know that when you're with him, he turns around and says to you, do this, and you just say, yes, Sergeant, and you just go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the right
That's
thing
right.
to do, because he's the one who was holding the and directing things.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are times when we're doing things which are not for warfare as we see it, but it is for the training of obedience and submission to the leadership and acknowledging that leadership, so that when it comes to a time of crisis, you're there.
Yeah.
You just say, Sergeant knows what we're doing. And so if he shouts, you follow him. You know, if he says, follow me, you follow him. And if it looks, even if it looks bleak and dark, you just keep going because he said, follow me.
Trust.
Yeah. And you do that because that's what it's about. And that is actually, in reality, it's this training to actually save your life.
That's right.
It's training to save your life. But you think, well, how can cleaning toilets save my life? It's all about disobedience. And then it comes then to weapons training and other sorts of trainings that are all involved, and all these things connect together.
Mm-hmm.
And to sort, you know, to be a good soldier, it's not just about learning how to fight. That is important, because that, you know, how to use your weapon, how to be accurate with your weapon, how to be effective with your weapon. And in the same way that things that God brings along to us, if you're going to go into battle, you have to at times perform mock battles.
Mm.
And God will allow something to come along, or create something to come along, that causes you're going to have to stand and fight. And there are times when the Word of God says that you get knocked down, but you get back up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're not knocked out, you're knocked down.
Mm-hmm.
You get back up.
Mm-hmm.
And a winner is somebody that always gets back up.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Never quits.
If you stay down, you're not the winner.
Yeah.
But if you get up, you're the winner. And you keep getting up. And you keep fighting. Because and what God is doing in these situations, he's developing character.
Mm-hmm.
He's developing strength. And at times you and I have to search the Word of God. And at times we have to seek the face of God. Will you obey me? How will you? You know, in the time of crisis, what will you draw near to first? In times of crisis, some people draw near to drink. In times of crisis, some people will draw near to drugs. To sex. They'll draw near to things that is their weakness. And they'll draw close to them. Well, that's what God wants to find out. He's looking for your weakness.
Yes.
So that he can deal with that weakness. So that you recognise it. And then God says to that, we need to deal with this.
Yeah.
See, the sergeant's looking for the weakness in his soldiers.
Mm.
Is there one amongst us that's rebellious, that's disobedient, that won't follow orders? If there is, he's a loose cannon in the troop. They cannot afford to have a soldier like that. They've got to get rid of him.
Can't
be trusted. You know, everybody's life could depend on that one person. And in a similar vein as we're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. It's a battle for your eternal life. That's what we're in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a battle for the eternal life of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And God's saying, can I trust you with my word?
Mm-hmm.
Can you be effective with my word?
Mm-hmm.
Can you use my word to bring down principalities and power? Can you use my word to direct people back to me?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this challenge that goes on. And so we sometimes ask God, why me? I'll tell you why, you.
Because I love you.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Because he loves you. You see,
a father
disciplines the child that he loves.
Mm.
We were talking the other night, weren't we, about a little bit about discipline and about And I use this often. It's a simple illustration. A child, a young toddler, going towards the fire. Mm. Now, when we were children, we had coal fires. Mm. And we had a fire guard around it. Yeah. Why?
You're burning yourself.
So nobody got burnt. And anything that would spit out the fire was, right? We don't have coal fires these days. We have gas fires. But they're just as dangerous. Mm-hmm. And if a child's going towards either a coal fire or a gas fire, and it's lit and on, and it's reaching towards it,
they don't know
that it's going to hurt them, do they? Mm-hmm. So do you stand there and think, I'll just let it find out for itself? I'm being, you know, we'll follow the political correctness, and we will not chastise the child, we will not bring punishment to the child. We will allow the child to go to the red-hot fire and put his hand in and burn it. Is that sense?
No.
No. You tell the child, no. Bernie, come away. And you raise your voice. And probably the first time it turns around, comes away. But child being a child.
They have another child.
You know, the child that is born into sin. As the nature of the devil in it, a fallen man. The Bible says train a child in the way that it should go. Mm-hmm. So the child sets off for the fire again when nobody's looking. Yeah, you know. And you say, and you catch it, and you say, no, Bernie. And you pull it away and it kicks and fusses, and the next time you look, it's off to the fire again. Third time you think, got to do something about this. This is getting serious, because if I'm not around, guess what's going to happen? Yeah. So what do? It's cold. It won't learn if you turn the fire off.
No.
All it's going to learn is that if I go towards that fire, she'll turn it off.
It's a game, won't it?
It's a game, yeah. Mm. So the idea is, now you have to be in charge.
You're the adult.
Right? Mm. So you... Child's going to cry. Is that not true?
Tries to force them,
you know, because now you've just set a boundary in place. You said, no, you don't cross this line, because if you cross this line, this is what happens. Punishment of some sort. And now people say, oh, you can't smack a child. Well, I'll tell you what, it's better to smack him than let him burn.
Yeah, of course
it is. You see? This is where it gets all stupid. And so you have to, and the child's upset and disturbed by this. But as the child grows older, the child then suddenly realises one day that what you did that day
saved his life.
Was an absolute protection for him. And in the same way, sometimes God puts us through processes, and we push boundaries, and God has to stop us. Love, it brings discipline at times. Love is not mamby-pamby soft. Love is tough. Teen Challenge talks about tough love. Discipline is tough love, because we're trying to break the old habits that the devil has built into people's life that is bringing destruction and bringing them to a place. Well, it's bringing them to death. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life.
Well, we all have the nature of death.
And there's that's right, yeah, there's the nature of death.
Bill said he never realised that last week.
Right.
Child is not a product of its environment, but its nature is to sin.
That's right, yeah.
We're all born as sinners.
We're all born as sinners, yeah.
As we conceived,
you're born in sin.
Your mother and father are sinful. The nature of us is sinful.
That's not what he wanted, was it?
No, that wasn't what God created. That was not God's desire.
God loves Abraham, God loves Daniel, but the abuse role of it. And he loves them, that he just wants to see them how they obey his
thing
and not to measure their faith on him.
Absolutely,
so,
yeah.
But it doesn't mean he hates them. He really, really loves them. Mm. Their name is still in the Bible.
That's
they
right. He's developing character and quality in each and every one of us, as in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because if you read the characters in Hebrew, these men of faith... Oh, I mean, you look at him and you think, you're joking, aren't you? David, a murderer.
Yeah, I know.
An adulterer. Mm. You know, and you could run a list on.
Mm.
I mean, Abraham weren't too smart at times. Isaac did what his father did. Jacob were a deceiver.
Yeah.
You know, you think
he was deceived also.
Yeah, and here it is saying that, you know, these are the men of faith. And in thinking, my God, it's not saying these men were perfect. I mean, it's said of David. God said of David, "You're a man after my own heart."
Yes.
The desire to follow God, the desire to be what God wants him to be. He slipped up occasionally, but all this is part of his training for reigning. The training for reigning that God is doing within our lives. And these are things that we have to realise. This is what God is about.
He won't put up with rebellion, will he? Because that is the prime reason that he rejected Israel and the old covenant. And eventually they went into captivity and destruction because they were constantly in rebellion.
It's a demonic root.
They refused to bow the knee to him.
It's a demonic root.
It is. He won't have it.
It's totally demonic. Rebellion is totally demonic. Rebellion comes in the church and brings division.
Yeah.
It's demonic. It has to be. That root has to be demonic because it is separating brothers and sisters, bringing disarray. Disarray in the church. Disputes. When you see something with this, division.
Disquiet.
Yeah. Discontent. Discord. It's all demonic in its activities because it's seeking to bring down. See, when we dwell together in unity, we have a great relationship, haven't we? You know, we laugh together, we play together, we do things together. And then if suddenly somebody comes in and starts talking behind my back about Bill and tries to tell me things about him, then I've got to say, oh, excuse me. No. I know for a fact, if the word says, if you've got something against a brother or sister, then you go talk it out with them. So, and I've done this. I love to do this when it happens. I say, tell you what. I had this one time on the telephone. I said, tell you what. Let's you and I arrange to meet this person.
Sort it.
And we'll go and talk to them. The phone went down straight away. They never rang me again. Never heard from them again. Because you see, straight away, I came against it with truth. And I came against it with the principles. All right, you want to talk about somebody? Let's go and talk about it in front of them. Because they have to have the ability to answer.
Mm.
Right? And let's resolve this.
Mm.
Now, if it's truth, the phone doesn't go down. The phone says, yeah, that's a good idea, I think we should. But when the phone goes down, you never get another phone call. Guess what? Somebody's lying.
Mm.
Trying to bring disarray. Mm. Trying to discredit. Trying to destroy. Trying to bring division.
I
once had a phone call about it.
Tracy.
Left on my answer machine. Left me the phone number to ring
them.
I refused to ring the number. I was not even going to pick the phone up and waste the energy dialing the number, and I weren't even paying for the phone call, I'll tell you. Because I didn't want to hear what wasn't true.
Mm.
I'd known him a short period of time. Not a long period, had I? At that time, but I'd spent some time with him.
I'd got
a witness in my spirit, and I decided I was standing by him because he was my friend, and God had brought him here. Right, and every one of us at times can come with baggage.
Yeah, sure we all do, don't we?
We can come with baggage, and we have a choice: do we help them get rid of the baggage?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we just focus on baggage?
No.
And we forget the person that's having to carry the baggage.
It's destructive.
And that brings destruction.
Yeah.
So you forget the baggage and you've got to focus on that person.
Yeah.
Because that's what, God's not looking at the baggage, he's looking at the person. And God's looking at the ways of getting rid of the baggage. God don't want the baggage. It has no worth, it has no value whatsoever. But the person does, who's buried underneath all this baggage, that's where the worth is. Here's another one. Going to prison. So they said. So he thought.
Yeah. I didn't believe in God. My head was
Mass.
Yeah. We prayed about it, we listened to his story, we prayed, and guess what? He didn't go.
No.
The court case fell apart.
The devil fell in his own trap.
Do you know why? Because there were too many people in there lying.
Yeah.
And a liar has to have a good memory.
Remember what he said.
And I'll tell you, we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. It was tough. It took it right to 5 to midnight, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. It did.
That clock's beating down on this one. But God brought deliverance.
And he had to go through that process.
He had to go through that. You see, without that process happening,
that would be it.
That's right, exactly. So we, you know, you can say, well, he went through.
Thinking,
he went through
just,
hell.
I'm just thinking myself in through hell, and I think it's amazing how God turns it round.
Now that's the point. You see, you've got to look. He went through hell.
I went through it. Yeah.
He was in this room one night, and he blew his fuse, blew his top.
Praise the devil when I came in here. So it stick God.
He did.
Pray to the devil, he gets it done.
Yeah. That's where he got to with it all. He'd not long become a Christian, had you?
Yeah.
You see, so the devil's not going to give up on somebody easily.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's
yeah.
going to lie and twist his. You know, this snake is twisting his arm himself around you.
Yeah.
Writhing. You know, you've got to realise at that point the devil's in his death blows.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's writhing to try and keep a grip of you.
Yeah.
What I struggle with is this latest thing what I went through with this trainer. I'd had healing at the church, and I've really thought, like I said to you, that this guy was sent to me.
Oh, right, yeah, I don't disagree. He was sent to you.
There was a lesson to be learned.
Wrong stamping that point,
yeah,
though.
I'm just thinking, I'm struggling with this because I've kept thinking I've got myself to blame here. Was the devil chipping away at me? I just went, did what he did.
That's his job.
This is what I'm sort of confused. Why I had to go through that?
Listen,
right.
Right. I'll give you a reason. The devil is a deceiver.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The devil's a deceiver, and he wants. The Bible says that he will deceive the very elect.
Yeah.
Those who are say that, oh, I'm hearing God all the time. He's trying to deceive the very elect, right?
Mm.
So if he's got to be good if he's going to do that. So, soldiers are trained to recognise their enemy.
Mm.
Is that not true?
If you can see them, yeah.
Yeah. And somehow they try and develop in you an instinct.
Mm.
That even though they may not be dressed as an enemy, they develop an instinct that good or bad, friend or foe, right? Now the devil comes as a child of light at times. He seeks to try and deceive you. What God wants you to do is to be able to recognise what's of him and what's of the devil. You see, the devil will imitate things. The devil cannot create, but he will imitate, and he will try to imitate the things that God does.
Mm-hmm.
He's a deceiver.
Well, he did that, you see. He did do that, this Paul. He talked about angels.
Yeah, so the spiritualists and
he did talk about all that, and well, there were lots of things he talked about, but then there was things, there was just something at the back of my mind what made me this like a warning thing.
God gives
word
conscience.
And you don't always
got
to
listen to
his spirit.
I'll share. You've just reminded me of something. When I hadn't really got in really bad with my back, but I was in a lot of pain with it, and the physiotherapist, the chiropractor at the hospital had retired, so I'm left looking for somebody who will just give me some ease. And somebody told me of this man in Rotherham, so I went to see him. And I tell you, I only went once, because I listened to his conversation while he was working on the back, and I thought, this guy is into demonic things. And I thought, there is no way am I coming back here. And while he was working on me, I'm praying. And I never went back there again.
Please, God.
Can I say
I was binding
something
and taking
like that? Why are you laughing? When I was not very young, but not very old like now, I had a bad headache. It's not a joke. Headache is a very bad thing. Non-stop for 3-4 months.
Oh, gosh.
Like
migraine.
And I went to my auntie. Wherever I go to my family, I don't laugh, talk, or anything. It's always like this. So my auntie tells to her friend. Her friend says there is a man who can help her to. And they took me. And he gave me an appointment. He wanted me to pay 300 Ethiopian birr. And he wants me to come after a week. And they said, you know this place? Yeah. So you can come next time by yourself. Okay. And the first thing I asked him, is it godly? Because I grew up with Christian family. Is it godly? If it has something with demon, I don't want. He said, no, Saint Gabriel will help you. Saint George will help you. So that, you know, he calls so many names of angels, not Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh my God. I went home. So after a week, I went back. When I went back, I'm telling you, this is the truth, and this is like giving, you know, testimony, to be honest. I couldn't find the house.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
I live there. I live not far. I could not. So I stood somewhere. I saw a lady coming, and I said, excuse me, can I ask you something? Yes. Do you live around here? She said, yes. Do you know a gentleman called this? Yes. Can you show me? Yes. I was walking with her, and I was in doubt, and I asked her, can I ask you another question? What? Do you think he's got ability to, you know, to heal people? She said, what? I know the only healer, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Straight away, I was like this walking. I wasn't like this. I just fall like this when she said that. I did. And she had her luggage. She put that and she prayed for me on the street.
Oh, wow.
And she asked people to help her. She took me to her house. Nearly 7 or 8 hours, they put an oil in a cup and they pray for me. So many hours, and they put the oil in here. Since that day, I don't have a leg.
Praise God.
And I start go back to church.
Amen.
So when he say that, I just click in my head.
We have to be aware, you know, and for all you know, that could have been an angel.
Yeah.
You could
yeah.
have been ministered to through
yeah.
angels.
Yeah.
You don't know that, and I don't know that. I mean, I think Grace and I, when we once went to Israel, and we stayed with angels. We've never been able to contact them again.
I remember you saying a story about that.
Yeah,
quite interesting.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear it again.
Well, another time, but we'll do it. Yeah. But so, you see, if we are open to God, if our hearts desire God's ways, then He's wanting to tune it. It's like a radio, and God's wanting to tune your spirit in to hear His voice. And His voice only.
Mm.
Because there's a lot of voices out there trying to distract you, get your attention, saying, this is the way. Come this way. Well, this is the way. Come this way. We're out there into the time of Jesus. But you see, we have to. The word says, my sheep hear my voice.
Mm.
And the question is, are you going to be a sheep or are you going to be a goat? Goats are always butting and dupping.
Eating anything.
Yeah, being disruptive.
Can I share something with you, what happened to me, because I can't wait to tell you. I've only ever had a scripture given to me, well, twice now. In my life, because I've always kept thinking I'd love to get another scripture from God, you know, and it happened years ago, and I told you about it. Can you remember that scripture I'd said I'd got? It was
yes.
about my mum, when I was going through that with my mum before she came to God and everything, and it was quite profound, and I hadn't read the Bible or any scriptures, so I knew it was from God and everything. I just knew. Anyway, last Sunday, after Ken had given that talk, I was like, I don't know if I was dreaming, Oh, but I just remember sort of being there, and I've got Ken in my head. I've got Ken and scriptures in my head. That's all I can say. All these different scriptures in my head, and Ken were there. And all of a sudden, I got John chapter 20, verse 1. And I woke up and I thought, right, of course you like this. And I put my glasses on, put that. When I read it, I thought, well, it's just unbelievable. It's very straightforward, because it's not even part of a story or anything. And it says, it said in it that it's met when Mary Magdalene, I can't remember, but it's when she went to the tomb, opened it, and I just thought, well, what message is that to me? Is that, it's quite prophetic. It's like as if God was saying, Christine, this is what happened, and I've risen. It's like as if he's either saying that, or is, I don't know. I don't know what is. But only thing I can say is that was quite a profound statement. It's, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Mm. It felt quite powerful. I thought, wow.
Yeah. You knew God had spoken.
I knew he had, because it's like as if he were there in front of me. Call it, I think he'd went in nicely sense at word. I think he was probably, I don't know, in humility, in all this, as sense of humour what he is. It's, but I just thought, well, yes, I know that. It's like as if he's looking at me and laughing and saying, yeah, this is what happened, I did rise. You know, it's like as if he's doing that.
He did.
And that, I just had to share it with you. I just thought, wow, that's...
Question to you. Is, just looking at this verse of scripture, and it says, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb. And a question came to mind. Is this God saying to you, Christine, this is now the first day?
I had to tell you this because I thought, is
this the first day? Is this now the beginning of the new things?
That could be, because
let me carry on, because it's all right, let me carry on, because what else comes from me is, then go to the end of the verse, and it was still dark, and she saw the stone from the tomb. First day. This is the beginning of new beginnings.
Yeah.
And has he already now taken the stone away? Because this is the day of new beginnings.
Yeah.
This is the day of the new pathway, but stay on the pathway.
Could be.
And walk it out, because the stone has been taken away. But you've got to walk away from the stone, you've got to walk away from the circumstances, situation, and you've got to walk towards that light.
It's quite a profound, you can imagine, it's quite a profound...
It's the first day. You've been stumbling around for a while, and God said to you, this is the first day.
And I think he's done it in nicest sense at work. He's like, he's looking at me and laughing at me and smiling.
Of course,
saying,
he is.
This is what happened.
Yeah.
You know,
this is what happened on the first day.
Yeah.
The stone's taken away.
Yeah.
The stone's been taken away. It's the first day. Now you've got to walk in that day.
Yeah.
Got to stay in it, keep focused on it, keep moving forward in it, because it's only him, and it's him alone, and he is risen. He's risen now. He's not just risen from the tomb, which is great, but he's risen within us. And that's the thing that you've got to focus on. You've got to stay, you've got to keep Jesus must be in the center of all things.
Yeah.
If he's not, we've lost it. We have lost the plot.
Yeah.
Altogether. And the sad thing today is a lot of Christians have lost the plot because Jesus is not in the centre.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've said to you tonight, you know, earlier on, you know, pray for us in the business. I'm not really bothered if the business is now to close and finish, because a new day,
yeah,
a new first day is opening on a new chapter, and I want to follow, I want to go into the new chapter.
Yeah.
I want to be involved in the new chapter.
Yeah.
I don't want to live in the old ways.
No.
I want the thing that's for today. It won't happen overnight, and you know, unless the miracle comes on, but I'm prepared to let go. God taught me a lesson many years ago. I was doing a job and things weren't working out right. and I turned this business around for somebody in a short period of time, and it was making money for them. And but they didn't like something that I was doing and selling, and it was nothing wrong with it. It was a faith message that was setting people's lives free. And they came to me one day, and I said to them, when to push, come to shove, because I was annoyed because I knew it was going to happen. And they just walked away from me and left it. And I was really annoyed. I was annoyed with God. And God then straight away showed me an open vision. He said, Andrew, you've got two choices. And then he showed me a hand holding a staff like that. And then the next thing, the hand of God came down and literally ripped it out of this other hand. And the moment that happened, the hand that was holding the staff withdrew in pain. And then again, he took me and showed me another picture, and he showed me a hand holding the staff laid on the palm of its hands. And then all of a sudden, the hand of God came down and lifted it off. And do you know what was left? There was left an open hand. And I looked at it, and God said, that hand is now ready to receive the next thing that I have got for it. And he said to me, what do you want? Do you want to hold what you've got right now like that? Or do you want to hold it like that? And when I've said it's finished and done with, then I will remove it, and then I can give to you what's coming next, because you're ready to receive it. And I went, and I just stood there, and I did that. And I said, yes, Lord. And when the guy came to, I've only been fired once in all of my life. Basically came and fired me. And I just said, fine, I just packed my bags and left. Walked out. I was ready to go. Because God had already told me, but I was going to do something better. And so I just went, praise God, and I said, thank you, bless you, and walked out. They called me all sorts of names, but I refused to get involved in calling names. Because if I did, if I was calling names, then I was doing this. Mm. I was going back to gripping over it. Hey, it's gone, hallelujah, give me the new thing, God. Let me walk in that new thing that you've got for me. And that's what I did.
And if you hang on to something and you cause yourself pain, then there has to be a healing process before God can give you the next thing. Mm. Whereas if your hands are open and it's easy, it's an easy transaction, you move straight into the next thing, don't you? You don't have to go through this long, frustrating healing process.
No. You see, when God gives you something, He gives you something to take care of it. And then when God's finished with it, He removes it and gives you something else to take care of and to move on with. So that's what it's all about. What I've got, I don't possess.
No.
And what I've got should not possess me.
That's right. Yeah.
Right? Did you get that?
Yeah.
What I've got, I don't possess. Because when I die, it's not mine. But the other thing that's so important is what I've got does not possess me. And that's another... You see, when it possesses you, this is what you do. You grip it so tight. Nobody's going to take this off me. Mm. Well, let me tell you this, I know somebody who can.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Job? You read the story of Job. Do you know what he was doing? He was doing that, when you think about it. He's sacrificing for his children. His children weren't doing sacrifices and offerings. The father was doing it for the children, just in case, it says, they might have sinned and offended God.
Yeah.
So here's Job, he's holding on to him like this, right? And the devil says, let me at him.
Yeah.
And God says, okay. So God took away the protection, and he lost all of his children. Lost all of his flocks, lost all of his wealth. You and I would have said, bury me, it's okay, I'm dead, finished. God's, I'm finished with God, that's it, it's over and done with. Yeah? Stuff that, you know.
I'm still here 11 years on.
11 years on?
That's
it. 2001 when that happened.
11
that's
years on, he did a Job in the end. Mm. And Job says, well, though he slay me, I'll not deny.
I don't know why I came in here when I was in that frame of mind. I did. God told you to.
Because God brought you.
Wednesday,
you
Wednesday night.
It was a Wednesday night. I remember it well. Because it was like, Bill, come here, and we dragged him back in.
God can handle it, can't he? He's not fazed by it.
What he just said also reminds me of that American concert pianist when he says that I've got arthritis and arthritis hasn't got me. He got the arthritis in his fingers in the 1970s and he's still playing piano concertos today.
Right.
Even though he goes through extreme pain to do it, he disowns the pain.
Yes.
And constantly focuses on the piano playing that he's doing.
It's, you see, it's important that God has to be centre of all that we're doing and saying. Yeah, the business that we've run for a few years is, you know, it's in some cases it's taken over at different times, and I've wrestled with it and argued with God about it, and then God has intervened in some ways, but I have come to a place, God, look, you know, I'm at this age and I want to be more involved in what you're doing, God. I want to be more and more. I've had it. I don't want anything more of this world. I want to be involved in where you're working, God.
Yeah.
I've had enough of this. It's the garbage that's in the world. And I think that we're in a point, Grace and I, where God's changing the order of things for us. And that's okay with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people say, aren't you worried and afraid? Why should I be? Because I have a loving Heavenly Father that will never give me anything above that which I am able to bear.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, he didn't say he was going to make life easy for me.
He's got to stretch us.
Provide. Yeah.
He promised he would keep me. But, you know, there will be challenges along the way. Because otherwise, if you cosset somebody all the time, you make them a wimp.
You do.
A whiner.
They're no good to nobody.
As soon as something goes wrong, they're complaining and moaning and griping. You think, oh, give it a rest. Because there are other people far, far, far worse off.
Yeah.
In more desperate need.
I was thinking when Christine says, I don't know if it's the devil, sometimes choices, we always choose wrong things, don't
yeah.
we? Get ourselves into these situations.
Yeah.
Situation.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm wondering whether did I make that wrong choice? Was it me? Or, I don't know, it's... You know, you wonder why you've got into something, don't you?
Mm. Simple answer is, yes, you did. But God got you out of it. And we all make wrong choices.
Mm. Yeah.
So don't go on a guilt trip over it.
No.
Mm.
Yes, you made the wrong choice.
Mm. That's all I want to know.
Yeah. But God came along and rescued you.
Yeah.
It's a learning process.
But it's a learning process. And this is why, sometimes, in the mouths of two or three witnesses...
Mm.
Consultation with godly people. Mm. People who've walked this pathway a bit.
Mm.
Sometimes, as individuals, we're too close to our circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to look from a distance.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you get... Some of us, you know, you get your Bible like this, I can't see it here. No matter what size glasses I've got, right? I'm moving away. I can see it
yeah, clearly.
In the same way, you can get too close, be so involved with a situation, a problem, a difficulty, that it actually consumes you.
Yeah.
And that's the wrong way around. You see, it shouldn't consume, it's God that should be consuming you. But the problem, the circumstances, you see, I could get consumed with the situation that's going on now at work. I could be distressed, I could not sleep at night, I could be afraid and panicking and etc, etc, you know. It's like, why? My Heavenly Father is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And I just turn around to Him and I say, Father, I'm not sure what you're doing. At times I'm not quite sure what to do. But, and so in those circumstances, I'm just totally reliant upon you. And I've got to trust you, no matter what you do, you will do the right thing. And I've just got to somehow learn to follow.
Mm.
I have to follow God. I don't lead God. And this is where people get mixed up. They try telling God what they want.
He knows what you want,
He knows what you want. He knows what's best for you.
Mm.
You try telling Sergeant Major what you want.
And guess what? He'll tell you what you're going to do.
Exegesis.
See, some people do a job and ask God to bless it, don't they?
That's right, yeah. Lord, bless this job I'm going to do. Did I tell you to do that? I'm working for you, God. When did I actually ask you to do that? I've seen it so many times. Oh, I'm doing this for God. Really? And you think so? That don't click with me at all. You know, I'm not saying I'm 100% right, don't get me wrong. But, you know, there are times when it's just... just does not hit the spot. But it makes them feel good. Because see, we abuse the name of God at times. We justify ourselves so that if we say, I'm doing this for God, guess what? Nobody's going to question me. Guess what? I will. If I think it's wrong and you tell me you're doing it for God, then I will question you. It's my right to. It's my responsibility to. And you might not like me for doing it, but tough, I don't care. I'm not here to be liked in that sense. I'm here to serve. Sergeant Major's not there to be liked, is he?
No, not really.
No, he's there to get a job done. He's there to keep you alive. You can see? And the devil wants to destroy you.
Can I just remind Christine of a verse when we first met? God gave you a verse from Proverbs 3, didn't he? And it really does sum up what we need to be doing.
Listen to the Lord with all your heart, not on your own understanding.
And lean not to your own understanding.
And know your ways, acknowledge him. That's what I got in the first.
It was. I remember that. And he was saying to, and then it follows on after verse 6. It says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from healing. It will be healing for your flesh and refreshment to your body. Your healing's wrapped up in obedience and in listening to God and not running by what you see or what you think. It's knowing what God's saying. And you do hear him, I know that.
Well, I think that, John, that was just thought.
Yeah, he was talking
to you. That's quite some. Because I just got Ken in. Ken was with me.
Yeah.
It was with me, and I got Ken there, and it was scripture after scripture, and I just all these scriptures, and then all of a sudden it just comes so profound. And I thought, hang on a minute. Hang on.
It's a new day.
Of course, I'm putting light on, putting my glasses on, and doing this and reading this at this time at middle at night, thinking, you know, thought, wow, because it's quite it's not even part of a story, it's just something what just comes, it's like a straight solid block of scripts.
But you need to do as he says and follow him and just don't run off on a flaky trail anywhere, you know. And your healing's in there. Obedience, I tell you.
Thank you,
as its reward, praise God, we need to quit, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, I've been blessed with being all over.
But it's good when we, you know, we sort of share like this.
Yeah, thank you, everybody, for your input.
I know,
because that's what Wednesday's about.
God said that to me the night I left Carpenter House, but I ignored it. Do not trust in your own understanding.
Yeah. To your peril.
You see, we need to have godly witnesses around us, godly men and women. It is so. I am the same. I need to have godly people around me who I know and trust that if I'm doing something wrong, they're not going to be nice to me and butter me up and say, oh, yeah, you'll be fine, you'll be all right. That's not what I want to hear. Because they're not my friends. If they do that, they're not my friends, are they?
No.
If they won't tell me if I'm going wrong, if they won't tell me, then they're not my friends.
Yeah.
And I don't need them. And I remember, I'm just going to finish off with you, I remember when he was walking out that door and he was having his tantrum and going for it, and I grabbed hold and said, "Bill, get yourself in here," and I sat him down.
I'd like to see that.
And it was like, he's not leaving here. He's not leaving here until that confession changes.
until we've had an input into him, because I'm not, he's not walking out of this place with a negative.
Mm-mm.
He's going out with something positive. He came in negative, he's going out with something positive, because that's what will keep him and sustain him.
Yeah.
And he's done it for the last 11 years. That was part of the turning point.
Mm. What I do remember is Grace telling me that God turns adversity into a blessing. And that stuck with me.
Yeah. And, you know, it's this determination that we need to leave God's house with a positive blessing in our life, a positive confession, because that is what gives us life. You know, gives us life. Bible says, you know, it turns our curses into blessings.
Mm.
See, the negative has to be turned into a blessing when God's involved.
Yeah.
We cannot. You listen to the media today and it's negative all the time. Don't listen to it. Give it a rest. Get into this. Read the end of the book, We Win.
Mm.
That's what it says, We Win.
Yes.
So if we win, why panic at the moment now? Sit back, get into the Word of God, and enjoy the ride. And if it's a few bumps and twists in it, and a roller coaster...
And there will be.
Hang on. Not that I like roller coaster rides, but... Hang on.
Ah, Jackie can't understand me. She says, this happened on news. Did you see it, Mother? No, I don't watch. She says, oh, you don't watch news, do you? She says, oh, I like to know what's going on. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
It's not really bothered.
What's going off today, tomorrow could be totally different.
Mm. Well, I don't watch news either.
If God does this, it'll change.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it is.
It is a process. It will show us there. And when we were children, there was a teacher, she asks us to draw a picture of peace, something that shows peace. And all of us draw like green grass, flower, music, birds, this, that. Only one lad, he drew somebody sleeping here, laying down in here. As there was war in here,
uh-huh.
Fighters in here, bombs in here, people die, killed, starving, whatever, but he was sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah.
That's very interesting. It's very profound.
Peace, obviously, yeah.
That's very profound.
That's a true
peace. That's a true
peace,
no matter what is going on around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was,
yeah.
That
stuck
in
that
me.
Absolutely, yeah.
I was second grade, I think, but still here.
Mm. Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah,
that young man had an insight of real peace.
Mm.
Yeah, that's true.
God gave me a few verses last night and they really blessed me, and I think it probably sums up tonight. It's in Psalm 84. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. And that's all that's happening. God's taking a valley of weeping, not to destroy us, but so that we go from strength to strength.
Yes.
He's in charge.
Amen.